Morning.
Greetings. I am of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from Chapin Baptist Church in South Carolina. Really looking forward to hearing the pastor preach this morning, so I'm going to make this short and sweet. Because I've been looking forward to hearing a word from our Lord through your pastor. He asked me to share my life story. It's hard to do that when you're 56 years old and you've got a short period of time, so I'll give you the Reader's Digest version of that. I was born in a small farming town in Kansas called Hayes, Kansas, and I grew up in a town just west of Denver, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, near Golden, and that's where I grew up. I was raised in a very religious home. We had a lot of religiosity in our home, and just a very average type of neighborhood, middle-class family just scratching their way through life like so many other families do, and I had a lot of friends around me. We'd football in the baseball in the summertime, football in the winter. It was just a great place to grow up as a kid, until I was 14. At 14, my parents announced to my brothers and me that they're going to get a divorce, and my world fell apart. My brother's world fell apart as well, and from then to the rest of high school, I became a very bitter young man, very angry toward my parents, and looking back now, the type of person I really was nothing more than a snot-nosed, angry, disrespectful brat is what I was. But I wanted to get away from home so bad that when I graduated from high school, I joined the Navy. And I actually, this is the truth, I looked on a map to see the furthest naval base from my home I could possibly be. It was Subic Bay, Philippines. So, and the Navy told me if I got top in my class, I can be stationed anywhere. So I studied hard to be top of my class, and I realized after I graduated, being top of my class, I didn't have to study that hard. But they kept their promise, and they sent me to Subic Bay, Philippines, out of all the places in the world. Now, if you know anything about the Navy and being stationed someplace, Subic Bay, Philippines is every sailor's desire to be, because there's a city outside that base called Olongapo, and even among those who want nothing to do with God will testify before you and say it is the most sinful place on the face of this earth. Lined with bars and nightclubs and hotels and so on. The immorality there is just horrific. And that's where God placed me. And I didn't know Christ at the time, but I was very religious. But my desire was to be a really good sailor. And what does that look like? I could cuss the wallpaper off the wall. I mean, I would lay in my bed at night, my bunk, and I would think of the most horrific things a sailor could possibly say. My language was so bad that the other sailors would say, "Randy, that's really bad what you just said." And that was like my trophy, and I wanted to get even worse than that. We would go out at night, and we'd come back the next morning, and some of my buddies would tell me what I did because I couldn't really remember. And some they would tell each other and say, "Man, Fannis, he's crazy." And I loved it. I loved that kind of comments about me. Well, in Longapo City was a little place where missionaries had built called the Subic Servicemen Center. It was sort of a getaway, an opportunity for sailors to go to get away from the city. And I was invited to go there several times, and finally I went. I visited there a couple of times. It was nice. It really was nice to get away from all the Longapo had to offer because I was stationed there 3 years. Well, one day I went there, and they were doing something rather unusual that I had never experienced before. They had a Bible study. Now, I grew up in a religious atmosphere, but I don't remember ever studying the Bible. We had a Bible in our home. It was sitting displayed out there, was opened up in the middle somewhere. I knew Jesus was in the Bible somewhere, and probably Christmas and Easter was too, but I didn't know anything about the Bible. So I stayed for the Bible study. I thought it was really interesting, but it really probably wasn't for me. But I would go there more and more often just to stay away from Olongapo, because I knew it wasn't good for me. One evening, the electricity went out in Olongapo City, which wasn't unusual, and they started a generator. Now, the electricity was 220. The generator was 110, and they had me show a video. Remember the old 60, y'all people don't know nothing about this. The old 16-millimeter reel-to-reel? That was our VCRs then. So they put it up there and had it running. I didn't care if it was 110. I ran the thing, and I saw the video many times. And it was Jocelyn McDowell speaking on the art of loving, what a Christian relationship with women is like. I wanted that. Well, this particular night, because it was just 110 and Josh McDowell was talking like this, I realized something. That's the speed of my brain. I had a relaxed brain because I understood every word he was saying. And he got to the end of his message, and he gave an invitation to trust Christ. And one of the verses that he quoted from was Romans 6:23. It says, Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." I'm in trouble. I knew that I was in big trouble. "But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." And then he went on to say in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." And I wanted that. I didn't want my old nature anymore. So I prayed that evening, and my prayer was something like this: "God, I'm going to give you a chance in my life. And I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Please forgive me of my sin and come take control of this life." And I remember specifically saying, "God, do with me whatever you want to do with me." Now, I had no intention of getting out of the Navy. I loved the Navy. I was really good at my job. But the longer I was there, I had opportunities to visit missionaries around the Philippines and see their work and go to the villages. I helped build a runway for a family in the jungle. And I started to become a little bit interested in missions. And sometimes the missionaries would ask me, "Ryan, you ought to consider missionary work." I said, "No way. Guys like me, you don't know me. Guys like me cannot be. You don't know what I've done. Guys like me could never be a missionary." And then one evening at a men's prayer meeting, and if you can imagine sailors getting together to pray, there's a room something like this. This is a chapel on base. And we had finished our time of prayer. And I don't know why this lady was in the back. She was an older lady. And where she came from, I've got no idea. Somebody must have invited her there, but she requested to speak. And she looked around the room and she said, "I'm so impressed to see young men praying like this." She goes, "In this room is much potential for Jesus Christ. My prayer is that some of you young men would consider missionary work here in the Philippines." I just put my head in my hands and I'm thinking, why did she have to say that? So I felt a tug to go back into ministry. So I did. Decided to get out of the Navy, packed up all of my belongings in a duffel bag, strapped it down to a motorcycle in San Francisco, and came to South Carolina. Had no idea where South Carolina was. I figured it was south of North Carolina. I grew up in Colorado, so I didn't know anything about the East Coast. And found Columbia Bible College. And that's where I went to school for 4 years. Went there with just enough money for one quarter of school. I finished not only with no bill, no debt for schooling, but I met a wonderful young lady, and we were heading back to the Philippines as missionaries. And so we got to the Philippines. It's 1991. We had three boys. We raised them over there. We were in a village setting. We didn't have electricity like this. But your island here reminds me very much of our island there. I was telling Pierre the other day about this. Even the look of it, like. And part of the island had nothing. They had never seen a Bible before. But they were very religious. And I could understand that because I was very religious. And they thought they could fix things through and appease the evil spirits, because they had a whole category of witch doctors and evil spirits and that. We learned a lot about that. And they would ask them why we were there. And we're there to teach God's word. We had to learn the language. We had to do translation work, establish relationships. People came together. And you can do all that stuff. But one thing you cannot do is you cannot change people's lives. Only God can change people's lives. And over the course of about 5 years, the hunger grew to know this book by those people was fantastic. We started with Genesis and went right through. And they discovered something, that the relationship with God is not religiosity at all. Religiosity is from man. Christianity is not from man. Christianity is from God. It's God reaching down to man. And I want to encourage you something that has changed my life, and I devoted my life to, that is to know this book. Know it. Consume it. Study it. Read it. Make it your life's journey to know this book. It's life-changing. There is nothing like this in all the world. And people will see the change in your lives. And my prayer is like my, for Cape Breton, is like my prayer for the little island in the South Pacific, Catanduanes, which means the land of the howling winds, because it's windy all the time there. Is that the people will see the light. There is a light on a hill. You are a light on a hill here. And that light's going to go forth. What you have here is wonderful because Jesus Christ exists right here among you. Pastor?